Some words from that reading from Romans that we've just heard so beautifully read. Verse 10, in fact. If Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Those words are right at the heart of Paul's careful and amazing teaching about, well, about pretty much everything that matters, in fact, about sin and death, about life, therefore, because if we talk about death, we must be talking about life as well, about God's righteousness, about Christ in me, that's how that verse begins, and kind of how it all works together to give us some kind of share in that true life that God promises us and in the victory that Jesus shares with us. But first of all, I need to tell you an extra thing about my family. I've got two sons. I should say, we have two sons. Makes it sound a bit more respectable, doesn't it? They're called John and Matthew, and they're 20 and 18 now. They're both taller than me. They are both taller than me, and they're about twice as broad because they are massively strong. And their favourite sport, in fact, their only sport, is rowing. Have any of you ever rowed before? Yes, got some good rowing tights, fantastic. Now, there's quite a big race on, rowing race today, isn't there? Yeah, a definite nod. You've heard about the boat race, of course, Oxford against Cambridge. It's today. It's not right now, it's later on in the afternoon. So plenty of time to warm up the telly and watch it later on. And this race is a big, high-profile rowing event. And this year, the cox of the Cambridge boat is a young man called Ian Middleton. How do I know that? Because he's a close friend of my son Matthew, who last year they were both at the same school and they rowed together in school events and they won loads of things, including a big race at Henley Regatta. They won on the final day of Henley Regatta, so very good. And they were both so good that they were picked for the Junior GB squad. And they went and rowed in an event in, where was it, Estonia? Latvia, Lithuania, one of those places up on the Baltic. And we went to watch them, of course. And Ian was the cox, and Matt was one of the rowers. And unfortunately, they were fourth, so they didn't quite win one of the intergalactic medals, I was going to say, international medals. But Ian is a very good cox, gone to Cambridge, and he is going to be coxing the boat today. And I've got a little bag here, something to show you, which is a genuine Cambridge fleecy. How about that? Look. I'm not just making this up. If you check the date on whichever arm it's on, there we are, Oxford v Cambridge boat race. Somewhere it's got the 160th boat race. Yes, yes, yes. So it's one of this year's fleeces. Now, have we got someone who's quite strong and possibly could pretend to do a bit of rowing? Who's keen? Someone little. Would you like to have a go? Would you like to? No one's actually. Are you sure? Feeling strong? You're a Cambridge. Oh, well, it's obviously made. It's made for you. No one's actually worn this ever before. So, would you like to come put it on? Yeah, great. Now, we need a proper seat for you as well. I might just borrow one of these chairs. Fantastic. You are going to help Cambridge win this boat race today. Slip that top on, and take your seat in the boat. I'm not quite sure which number. You know, there are eight people in each boat, of course. Seven. It's seat number seven. It's got it on the back somewhere. Seat seven. You're in the boat. And how's it feeling in that boat? It's nice and comfortable?
Feeling great in this, please.
Very good, very good. Now, I've got some slightly sad news for you. The intelligence from my sons is that Oxford are better this year. You'd heard that, had you? Oxford are lighter in weight, but they are extremely capable. They've got some Olympic medals, and you know they're basically a very, very good boat. And Oxford probably will set the pace down the river later on today. But there's always a chance, isn't there? Yeah. And you've got a very good cox. Ian is an excellent cox. If you're not quite as good as the opposition, the boat race is all about keeping up, isn't it? Keeping that gap small. You might want to keep the gap between the boats so small that the oars start crashing. Not always a wise idea, as I remember from 2 years ago. But you want to keep close, and you certainly don't want to drop back more than half a length or so down. You need to keep that gap nice and small. So do you want to just have a quick pretend? Show us your technique. Look at that. Yes. Fantastic. Very good, very good. Don't wear yourself out. Just pretending. Backstops. Excellent. So, but that's what we're going to have to do, okay? Really keep the pressure up to keep that gap nice and small. So, got some bad news for you again, I'm afraid. The gap is opening up. Unfortunately, that gap is getting quite wide. There's definitely a bit of open water, a bit of clear water between the boats. Not good. I think you better give it another quick pull. Despite all your efforts, your body is beginning to hurt. Yep. Did that ever happen to you? I'm sure it didn't. But yes, it did. That's what happens to rowers. It's very tough. And actually, your body is failing. It's failing to achieve what you want it to achieve. That gap is there. It's real. And when we think about what Paul wrote, you're comfortable, you're right. Yeah, yeah. It's a nice fleece, isn't it? But when we think about what St. Paul wrote, he wrote, of course, as part of that verse and that passage we heard, and in fact, whenever Paul wrote, one of the things he wrote about was, well, it was the power of sin and evil. And that power of sin and evil is like the gap that opens up between where we are in that boat with you, in the Cambridge boat, and where we want to be, which is up with no gap, closed up. And that's what the power of sin and evil actually is. It's like a gap. We sometimes think it's, well, there are lots of ways of talking about the power of evil, but it's really just that gulf, that gap between us and where we want to be, which of course is with God. Or you could describe it as being the gap between heaven and earth, the kingdom of heaven, God's kingdom, and where we are, which is sort of muddling along with the kingdoms of the earth, we might call them. But that gap is a real thing. But God doesn't want that gap to exist. That's actually what our Christian faith teaches us. God wants that gap to be overcome somehow, and he's always wanted that. It's not something new that he's just suddenly thought of today or even just recently. He's always, always wanted that gap not to exist. When he first brought everything into being, and we can read right at the start of the Bible in Genesis about how he made, what does it say? He made the heavens and the earth. He made heaven and earth to be one, to be joined, no gap. But we know that Adam and Eve failed. They failed, they fell away. That gap opened up right at that moment. And we have inherited that gap. But God didn't want the gap to exist, so he did. That's why we read our Bibles, because we read all about how God wanted that gap to be closed up. He sent Abraham, Isaac, the prophets, the law. Moses received the law. All those things were God's faithfulness to us to overcome that gap. I think you better put in another stroke or two just to make sure the gap doesn't close. But unfortunately, despite the cocks, I'll pretend to be Ian the cox for a second. What do coxes do? They do two important things. You probably, what two important? Steer and shout. Absolutely. That's what coxes do. They steer and they shout. And a good cox knows when to shout and encourage and knows exactly the line to take. And this cox, Ian, today will do that. And he's doing it now because I'm pretending to be him. Very good cox. Very good cox. And that's like the law and the prophets, all those things that God has given through the ages, they kind of steer us and they encourage us. They shout at us to try and help us do the right thing. And that's why Paul actually writes somewhere a little bit earlier in Romans, building up to this passage, that the law is a spiritual thing. Sometimes we can think about the Old Testament law, the Old Covenant, as being useless and rubbish. But that's not actually what Paul says at all. He says it's like that cox in the boat. It's doing something. It's encouraging us, shouting us, steering us. That's what it's doing. He calls the law a righteous thing. And that's actually when he writes in verse 10 of chapter 8 of Romans that we just heard, because of righteousness, that's what he means. That covenant faithfulness that he's always shown as represented by the cox in the boat. So the cox is screaming at you. Look at that. up it a stroke, up it, whatever. I've never rowed, so I don't really know what they're saying. But he's screaming at you, and what's happening to that gap?
Hopefully.
It's not getting smaller. You're putting in everything, aren't you?
Yeah.
I can see the sweat pouring off you. But the gap is still getting bigger. That's what happens, friends. The law and the prophets are there to encourage us, to steer us in the right kind of way. And we can try all our energies, and the gap still opens up. The gap still opens up. It might be what's going to happen this afternoon to Cambridge, who knows? But that gap between us and God is a big and real thing. And however much we think we can kind of put on a few extra muscly pounds or just rush around being a bit more busy, the gap is still there. And it gets bigger. It opens up. That's why in that verse it says, your body is dead because of sin. That's the thing we have to face as Christians, that our bodies are touched by sin and failure and death. And so the gap doesn't seem to close up. What can be done? What can be done? We need to close that gap. Can you try a bit harder, perhaps?
Have a go.
Have a go. Have a go. You're trying harder. The cox is still screaming and steering a really good line. And what's happening to the gap? It's still there. It's still getting bigger, I'm afraid. And have you got any more you can give? No. There's nothing more you can do. But our lives depend on this victory, you know? How long do these rowers train for? All year. Do they do any studying? No. Well, maybe if they're doing classics or something, they can fit in the odd hour and get a very good degree. But, sorry, someone's probably a classicist. You know, these rowers give everything. A whole year of their life. And more. It's a whole kind of thing, builds up to that. This is everything to them. This is like the whole of life to them. Our lives depend on this victory. Does that make you row any faster?
I have a go.
But it's not working, is it? It's not working. That gap is still there. Even though we know this is more important than anything. This is so important. And that's actually what we believe about our lives under God, isn't it? That our lives with God, our lives in God's kingdom, well, it's not just a nice bonus alongside having fish and chips tonight or whatever. At least I hope you don't feel that way. Life with God is so important. It's more precious and important than anything else. It's everything. It is life, isn't it? Life with God in Christ is everything. That's why the Gospels and the New Testament are full of such rich and powerful language about the importance of yearning for the coming of God's kingdom and the resurrection life with Christ. Give it another stroke. But you know, you're really tired, your body is failing, the cox is still screaming. We need something extra, don't we, in this boat? We do. And as Christians, we know we need someone extra, don't we? We need someone to help us win this victory, to grasp this gift of life. We know who that person is. And we know it's through his death and his resurrection that he achieves something very precious indeed. He closes that gap between us and God. So we need an extra rower in the boat, don't we? Luckily, there is a spare seat in this boat, very unusual boat. An extra spare seat. We need a rower who can do something, well, unique. Something that no one else can do. Not even you, unfortunately, can do this. No one else can do this. But we need an extra rower in the boat. We need a rower who will give so much. They will give everything. They will even give their own life to haul that boat closer to Oxford, who practically disappeared round the next bend now. I have to say, you know, this isn't going well, but luckily this person will get in the boat. He's in the boat. And he is giving so much. He's giving everything. And that's what Paul teaches us in the letter to the Romans. Listen to these words that will be very familiar to you. You see, at just the right time, we might say, at just that moment on that big bend when everything was hopeless and we needed something, if it wasn't going to happen now, it never was. At just the right time, when we were still powerless, yes?
Yeah.
When we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Do you remember the power of sin? Is that gap, that gulf between where we are and where we want to be, that stretch of river that seems so big. While we were still sinners, yes, dear friends, sometimes we can get overhung up about our own sinfulness. And we're people touched by God. We're good people. We're not kind of mired in the deepest evil that we never do anything good. But we are touched by sin because of that gap between us and God. It's not just our own personal failings. It's something about being in that boat on that river and that gap being opened up. And whatever we try and do, we can't close the gap. But while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What's the cox up to now? We've got this new rower in the boat. What's the cox up to? Well, the cox hasn't jumped out and given up. No, the cox is still there. Do you remember what the cox, my friend Ian, represented? The law and the prophets. All the ways in which God has shown his love to his people through the ages. He's still there in the boat. He's still steering the boat. He's still shouting encouragement. And you know, Jesus doesn't throw the law out. He fulfills the law. He completes it. He works with it. He makes it bring about its purposes. That's what Paul teaches a little later on in Romans. If we were to read into chapter 13, we'd read about how the law of love fulfills the old law. Let no debt remain outstanding. This is from chapter 13. Except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. It's the law of love that fulfills the law of Moses. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So this boat now is really moving, isn't it? Can you feel it? I should maybe have another thing that was representing the Oxford boat and we could move it closer. But I think that stand would probably rip the cable out of the ground, so I'm not going to touch it. But take it from me, that gap is closing up now. That Oxford boat is really, really close. In fact, we're alongside now. We've pulled alongside. How can Jesus do this for us? It's something to do with the power of the love that he reveals, isn't it? Something to do with the power of that love. How can we be part of it? We just have to accept that gift. You know these wonderful words that come right towards the end of chapter 8, from which we heard our reading today. This is what Paul reflects on as he thinks about the love of God revealed in Christ. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Conquerors win the victory, don't they? For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from that love that God reveals for us in Christ. Nothing can stop that extra rower in the boat from achieving that amazing thing. Nothing. Not a broken rudder, not a hole in the boat, not 8 broken oars, nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Isn't that mind-blowing? Isn't that amazing? The gap is closed. The boats are level. And you're rowing. You are, aren't you? You know, that love that God has for us in Christ doesn't mean we can just sit back. We're sharing in that rowing, aren't we, in that boat. We're in that boat with Jesus. But without him, we'd be nowhere. That gap would be huge. And with him, the gap is closed. The gap is closed. We might say, the victory is ours. No thanks to our efforts, really, is it? But the victory is ours. We share in that victory. Let me read you again the verse that we started with. If Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Your spirit is alive. You are alive with Christ. You have a spirit-filled life. You're in that boat. You're sharing with Christ. And Christ does this for us. That's what Jesus does for us. At this time of year, as we have these 2 weeks leading up to Easter Day, we reflect especially on what Christ has done for us. What price does he pay? He pays the heaviest price imaginable. But he gains the victory, doesn't he? He gains for us the victory. And what about us? What do we need to do? Well, there's only one thing really that we need to do, isn't there? We just need to be in the boat. We just need to be in the boat with Jesus. We have to be with Jesus. That's all we have to do. That's all we have to do? Yes, but we have to do it. Friends, I don't know about where you stand with God. I'm a visitor here today. Maybe you worship here every Sunday. Maybe you're visiting, or perhaps you've come here today not sure about God and your faith. Perhaps you're feeling burdened by that gulf that does open up and is real, the gulf that somehow separates us from God. I don't know where you stand with God, but I do know one thing, and it's for me as well. I know one thing. We need to be in that boat. We must be in that boat with Jesus, trusting Jesus, near to Jesus, and sharing in his suffering, but in his victory as well. Because we can only do that if we're in the boat. And when we do, then we do share in that victory that God gives us. If Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Father, we pray for your grace, that we would take our place in that boat, that we would be faithful in sitting in that boat with Jesus as he carries us, as he closes that gap. Father, we thank you for your amazing love for us revealed in Christ Jesus. And we pray that our hearts would be grateful and that our lives would be shaped to give glory to you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.